You're with John Perlman on 702. Let's walk the talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
10 minutes past 5 on 702 Afternoon Drive. Good to have you with us. I don't know what you're doing at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning, but you could wake up and tune in to the next U.S. presidential debate. The next one, the final one, election day, of course, on November the 3rd. So time is tight for persuading American voters what they should do. Will a good performance in this debate make any difference? Well, to get a perspective on that, we're joined on the line from Washington by Simon Marks, president and chief correspondent at Feature Story News. Simon, welcome and thanks for your time. Is this a debate that could have any real material outcome on the election, or is it a challenge for both men really to just stay out of trouble?
Well, look, it can definitely have an impact still, John, but I think it's important to underscore, you know, we say that election day is 12 days away, but in fact, that phrase has less meaning today than it's had in the past. More
right.
than 40 million Americans have already cast their votes in this election because early voting in many states got underway several weeks ago. Now, that's almost a third of the total number of voters who participated in 2016, so in the whole election in 2016. So for 40 million Americans, what goes on during that uninterrupted 90-minute debate tonight is already irrelevant. They've cast their votes. They've had their say. Now, having said all of that, two-thirds of the electorate, it would seem, has yet to make their final decision, although very few members of the electorate seem to be floating voters. You know, passions have been inflamed in this election for so long that the vast majority of voters tell pollsters they've already made up their minds. They know if they're going to vote for Joe Biden or Donald Trump. Less than 6% of likely voters in the election are still trying to make their final choice, and it's those voters that these candidates need to reach. So at the end of this debate, there's only one question worth asking, really, and that is, will either candidate, Donald Trump or Joe Biden, succeed in reaching out to those undecided voters who are presumed to occupy the political center ground? There aren't many of them. The clock is ticking. They've got to find a way of reaching them, and this is their last chance to do so.
This will be a more controlled debate, a mute button while your opponent is giving his at least his initial two-minute answer to whatever the question is. Who does that help?
Well, it's not clear to me that it's actually going to have a particularly enormous impact on this debate, because
right.
if you do the math, the debate is 90 minutes long. For 66 minutes of the debate, there will be no mute button being deployed by the moderator. The mute button will only be deployed during the initial two-minute answers that the candidates are allowed to give in each of the six sections of the debate. So for the lion's share of this debate, I think it's likely to be very similar to the kind of fireworks that we saw in the first debate a few weeks ago, and this time potentially supercharged by the fact that Donald Trump, we know, is coming to this debate eager to accuse Joe Biden of heading an organized crime family. That is the new cadence that Donald Trump articulates on the campaign trail following the publication last week in the New York Post of a story that has not been verified by any other news organization and remains the subject of investigation, alleging that Joe Biden's son, Hunter, was trying to secure meetings between his father, then the vice president,
yes.
and Chinese energy executives at a company, Ukrainian energy executives at a company Hunter Biden used to work for. Donald Trump has seized on that. He insists it is evidence of criminal activity. He has ordered on television his Attorney General William Barr to begin an immediate criminal investigation of the Biden family. There's no sign of that criminal investigation getting underway, and indeed there are reports here that suggest that Donald Trump is furious with both his Attorney General and the Director of the FBI for not launching that criminal probe into his opponent, Joe Biden, on the campaign trail. So it's going to get very ugly.
So, Simon, let's step away from the debate for a moment and get your thoughts on that early voting process. I follow it from time to time, mainly on satellite news channels, read a couple of newspaper articles. A lot of people, unprecedented numbers, have stepped out to try and vote early. Have they been able to do so fairly smoothly, or have there been indications that the system is to some extent under pressure from people trying to suppress votes? Or is it just simply that they're much larger numbers and the pressure of long lines is the natural pressure of time and space?
Well, it depends on where you're looking. And the answer to that question is kind of yes in all regards. I mean, certainly early voting has proved to be enormously popular this time round. We don't precisely know why. Is it that people are worried about the possibility of contracting COVID-19 on election day itself? Are they just so utterly fed up with the unedifying campaign that we've witnessed here that they just want to put it all behind them? We can't precisely say which party it favors, although the Democrats believe that more registered Democrats are participating in early voting than registered Republicans. But there's no question that if you look at places like the state of Georgia, and particularly rural areas in the state of Georgia with large black populations and very, very limited numbers of voting booths and polling places, in states like Georgia, African-American voters are forced essentially to stand in a queue for up to 12 hours at a time just to reach the front of the queue and have their opportunity to cast their ballot. The Democrats say that is a very clear attempt at voter suppression by Republican officials in the state. You can see similar examples in other parts of the country. Republicans, of course, say we've got to be extra careful this time round because with postal voting taking place in large numbers, it's absolutely vital to make sure that people are only voting once, there isn't fraud underway.
Yes.
But certainly in southern states of the United States, you can see pretty clear evidence of attempts to make it very difficult for some populations here to participate.
Simon Marks joins us from Washington, President and Chief Correspondent at Feature Story News. And we'll catch up with Simon after the debate. I will not be getting up at 3 o'clock, but I think I might record it.